Welcome to the Digitools podcast. No, podcast.
What was that?
The cast? Cast? Cast.
No, you don't say cast.
Not the cast, that's too posh.
Up north, do you?
Poshed?
Up north.
There's only an R after an A down south.
Asked. Okay. Podcast.
There's no podcast. Because
I do not know what accent you're doing now.
I'll do a northern one. Welcome to today's show on the Digitools in a Cruel World. I'm joined today by our lovely hosts, Ryan Pacey and John Toome. How's that?
It was like a weird morph between generic Yorkshire and then a little bit of Cilla Black at the end.
I think we had Sam Mitchum on, right? I think that was it.
That is an insult to Sam Mitchum. That is so unfair to her.
I tell you what, you're a brave man, Ryan. I can't wait to watch her kick you in the bollocks repeatedly.
Pretty sure she would as well. Without even saying hi. From behind. Straight up from behind. Steel toe cap, pointy shoe.
Wow. Can you do an Irish accent? Should we do it all in our best Indian accents? So it's just so Ryan can fit in.
I can't even remember how I did that in accent now.
I would definitely like to see
Come on. Just take your hoodie off and show us that tattoo on your shoulder, Ryan.
Ryan.
All accents have been tainted for me now. I don't feel I could do any accent. They're all so offensive.
Hey, look, they managed to keep Abu on The Simpsons as a white actor for a long time before they replaced him with an Indian actor. You've got another probably 16, 17 years to run with this, yeah?
It was Abu. Yeah. Not Apu. Is it Apu the monkey
Apu.
From
Is it
Adam?
Apu? Oh, yeah, sorry, Apu.
I feel like you've been racist already somewhere in there, so I'm just going to...
Just going to keep it in.
You know what? I'm Googling this now. I'm finding out how offensive I'm being. It's the monkey from Aladdin. It's called John.
I don't even think you're being offensive. I think John's being offensive.
As long as you're not confusing your monkeys with Bubbles, that's probably all that matters, really.
Bubbles?
Yeah, Bubbles. Like Michael Jackson's monkey was called Bubbles, wasn't he?
Oh, but we don't talk about Michael Jackson.
And it is Apu from The Simpsons.
Apu,
there you go. But what's the surname of the guy from The Simpsons, John? Apu.
It's Homer Simpson.
There you go, Nahasapi Mepetalon.
I love long names. They're my favourite. The saddest thing is that your names are too simple and short.
Hey, you've shortened yours.
I know, I did it to make it easier for most people. But actually, I really like my... name and I like long names.
Indivere.
It's nice. I like long names. They're more
it sounds
enjoyable.
Elegant rather than John.
A happy new year to you all and welcome back to the Digitools in a Cruel World podcast. Today I am joined by my lovely host John Toome and Ryan Pearcy. Today's episode we'll be covering some app news and we look back at 2023, the good, the bad, the ugly of apps that were released over the course of the year. We hope you are able to join us for the rest of the year. We're planning some really good features from our sponsors. We have got a fair few sponsors now, which we're really excited about. And we're also covering some new features, bed by bin for app tech in different industries, as well as a whole host of other guest appearances from a number of different CEOs from some of the app techs that exist out there. Before we go any further, I'm going to throw the ball over to Ryan Pearcy. How are you, Ryan? How's Christmas? How are you doing?
Happy New Year, indeed. It's great to be in 2024. Although, admittedly, I have been very grumpy, as you experienced earlier. I am that dwarf, unlike a number of other dwarfs. But no, I'm excited to be back recording the Digitools and Paul Cruel World podcast. I still can't say how long we've been doing this, and I still can't say the name of it. It's crazy. But how are you, Indy? How has 2024 been for you?
It was good. It was cold. I'd be probably the chilly dwarf because I've had to reset the boiler, which has been good because, happy accident, turns out that I have really not been sleeping at the right room temperature. Without the heating there, I discovered that I actually sleep a lot better in a much colder room. So all good, actually. Good Christmas. And now looking forward to resetting and getting into this year and resurfacing somewhat because I think I've been quite quiet for the last 6 months odd since the acquisition. But before we go any further, let's throw it over to the horny dwarf that is John Toome. How are you doing, horny?
Since you put me on mute, Indy, I have to turn myself back on after being on mute. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. 2024 is treating me very well.
That is why you're called the horny dwarf, by the way. So what? Continue. Because you have to turn yourself back on.
You know what they say, Indy, once a fluffer, always a fluffer. So there you go. 2024 is good. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a busy year, I'm sure, with conferences and more technology news, etc. Yeah, let's crack on. And I'm glad to hear that you've finally figured out what the best temperature to sleep at is when you're in your room, because it's a common problem in the UK. Lots of people heat their houses too hot, and you should be sleeping at around 15 to 19 degrees C. So there you go.
One of my resolutions was to improve sleep wake time, and so definitely concentrating everything on the bedroom this year.
I bet you are.
That's an announcement to make at the start of this year.
Sleep. To do with sleep.
Oh, I was going to say, if there's any
much more
any listeners out there that could help you with your
focusing on the bedroom,
your New Year's resolution. Yeah.
Sleep, wake, time was all I said. The bedroom and sleep, wake, time. Yes.
The sleep, wake, time. I'm trying to understand what that really means. Are you saying like how long it takes
the whole day?
Is that how long it takes you to wake up after you've been asleep? Are we talking about the transition here? What are we talking about?
No, both sleep and being awake.
The proportion. The whole day. Are we talking about proportionality?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about the consistency of it, the timings of it, the critical hours to do with when you should be asleep,
okay.
The time that you should wake, the process when you do wake, and therefore what you should do within the first half hour. Yeah, the whole sleep wake.
Open your eyes.
There's a lot around
not
it.
Not wet the bed.
Yeah.
Clean your teeth. Like that. Yeah.
No, it's like getting outside in the natural light.
Oh, okay. What happens if you wake at 3 a.m?
That's the whole point. If you improve your sleep-wake routine and consistency, you won't wake up at 3 a.m.
But what happens if you do night shift?
That's the whole... That is part of it, is night shift working. It is shown as quite detrimental, but most of us are... Anyway, look, let's get to app news. Okay, so kicking off with app news, we saw just before Christmas that GI and Advanced Track have finally settled their case. It seems that the award has been made in favour of Advanced Track, and GI Outsourcing will be paying the £50,000. Advanced Track have benevolently said they will be donating the whole amount to charity. And we caught up with Vipul just before Christmas. He seemed delighted, relieved, and very much pleased that this is now drawn to a close and a conclusion. So we read through some of the court notes, and obviously it has gone on for some time, 2 years roughly. So it's good to see the back of it, and hopefully we can all move forward. And we're looking forward to getting Vipul from Advanced Track on the pod soon enough.
Sounds good. Completely different topic here, but I've got something on Iris and cash flow. Iris have released a new feature for Iris Pay. They've been in partnership with Unipass. I think it's been 2 years nearly they've been working with Unipass on the partnership and how they can enhance Iris Pay within Cashflow. And what, in essence, they have released, if you dig through a very long article, is payment links and a pay now button. That's pretty much what I've got. You've also got the ability to pay via scanning QR codes that are embedded, but in essence, payment links and a pay now button, similar to what most of the other accounting apps have in their plethora already. But yes.
Are you saying that's directly via Iris, or is that via Unipass, which was already there and has...
So it's in Cashflow, so inside the Iris Cashflow system, but it's powered by Unipass.
Okay.
Similar in some way, but in the other direction to how Cresco powers the Xero supply payment system now.
We should probably have a chat to Unipass at some point, because they're working with quite a few different vendors in the space on the payment side. It'd be interesting to know how well the adoption is going of their software and their payment links within the...
Plus, I also want to know if you're supposed to say Unipass, just like off the Fifth Element. Another one of my brilliant voices.
Or are you suggesting maybe you should sound HA out, so it should be like Unipass?
Maybe. Either way, we should probably find out. I'll probably be saying it wrong the whole
time. I mean, if that's the case, we've all been saying SAS wrong for a long time as well.
SAS.
You've got SAS.
Okay. And moving on from that, Iris, more Iris news. Iris were looking to sell pre-Christmas for $3 billion, and it was rumoured that KKR were raising debt financing to the tune of $1.1 billion. They have since sold... at a whopping $3.15 billion pounds equity from Leonard Green and Partners, LGP, a private equity firm, HG Capital, ICG. Have they exited completely now? And it has transferred to Leonard Green and Partners for 3.15 billion?
I'm not 100% sure, but that was my reading of the press release, was that they had fully exited. Iris have been targeting the US market, haven't they, for the last few years, and quite a lot of their more recent acquisitions have been US focused in particular. Maybe not unsurprising that they've had US money go into it.
So a big congratulations to Ilona and all of the team.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, absolutely mega story, and what a valuation. Incredible, really.
Definitely. And something that you, John, predicted maybe 2 years ago when you said that they were making some changes to the software, buying certain products in a plan to sell. So heard it on the pod first. Maybe too preemptive, John. You got it a bit early.
If this is the first prediction that we've ever got right, it's purely more luck than judgment, I reckon. What is it they say? Like, a stop clock is right twice a day.
Talking about raising money, in some instance, there has been an AI tool called Genesis that has landed $1.1 million to reimagine the role of accountants, which is a pretty brilliant way of defining why it raised funding. But in a pre-seed funding round, they've basically done this to develop an AI co-pilot called Jack, which is an interesting name for a co-pilot. And they've done that to automate bookkeeping to some extent with reconciliations via line item extraction, so OCR to some point, but with approvals and VAT recognition and posting into the system ready for payment. So all of that approval process completely automated, in an ability to extract that directly from any communication channels such as Teams, Slack, or WhatsApp.
Yeah, we've been using Jack and have a bit of a play around with the Genesis tool. It looks quite good. And actually been doing a little bit of experimenting with Nikolai, who's the co-founder, to see if there's a use case for our internal audit team as well. They're going to be letting Jack loose soon on some of the documentation and information that we've got to see what we can gain from that, which would be cool.
Question. How does this differ from Bots for You, who we had on the podcast just before Christmas? Bots for That, sorry, Bots for You and Bots for That. Because he was talking about configuring bots specifically for BankRec, and also they were just looking to launch a better revenue model for how you could use those bots. How does this compare?
They're two different things, because your Bots for That are trying to automate a process using UiPath. And then what they're selling to you is runtime. Whereas what Genesis have done is they've built a tool that doesn't just use robotic process automation, but it's using natural language processing, a large language model, and a few other bits and pieces to do what Ryan has mentioned, which is being able to plug into multiple communication channels to then effectively run an accounts payable process. And what's slightly different to what Genesis can do, which Bots for That can't do, I assume, is that, for example, you can communicate with Jack and say, from today going forward, our expenses policy for hotels or trains or whatever is going to be £150 maximum, and it will automatically update the policy from whatever the previous policy might have been, and it will apply that going forward. You can't do that with Bots for That, because you would have to basically tell them that anything over £150, for example, might need a second to sign off or whatever the process was. So that's a slight difference in the way that you would interact with the two. So Bots for That are trying to automate a pre-existing process. Genesis are almost trying to take AI into a process and then allow you to change that process interactively.
Reimagine a process, John.
Reimagine. Can you imagine?
I can never imagine. I try not to with you around, to be honest, John.
It's those dreams that you keep having.
Yeah, lucid. Bots for That are taking existing accounting solutions where there's a pain point and automating it. And yeah, Genesis are replacing some of those tools. That's how I interpret that from at least the release. And what John waffled on about for a while.
A little bit more waffle coming your way right now, Ryan. iPlicit have released their very own OCR tool. So they're able now to do invoice extraction and line item extraction within the product, which is familiar to a lot of us who are working with products like Dex and AutoEntry already. What's pretty cool about the iPlicit tool, though, is that clearly, because they're a sort of mid-size ERP solution, you're quite often working with multi entity groups within there. And so they have the ability, for example, to scan an invoice that comes in at a group entity level and be able to reallocate costs across multiple entities from one singular invoice. So that's pretty cool, pretty neat way of separating line item extraction.
Jonathan Toon, are you going to repeat this same information later in our podcast? I hope this is new information.
I don't like
anyone having to listen to it twice.
I'm not going to repeat that specific bit of nonsense that I just...
We will allow it to remain then. I apologise if there is repetition.
I will talk more generically about iPlicit releases at some point.
We are big fans of iPlicit, so I don't mind you saying it twice.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Oh dear. Let me move on then, since you're just ribbing me. BDO have also launched their own AI platform based on ChatGPT and GPT-4. They've called it Personas. So this is being rolled out across the entire organization for all 7,500 of their employees. And they've been working on this for about a year. And to be perfectly honest, it's a little bit unclear precisely what they want it to do. They've talked about it's going to support tasks like drafting reports, you're creating new content when you analyze documents and finding ways to improve efficiencies. That's all like fairly generic fluff that we hear from a lot of like press releases, but I'd like to see some of the detail. They have said that things like the reports that you can create from it will capture like BDO voice and the brand guidelines that they have and their tone of voice, which is a marketeer's dream. It's interesting insofar as it's good to see another big firm picking this up, and I think it's going to show the direction of travel for other firms. But equally, it feels like, for me at least, that this is some of the stuff that's available with Microsoft Copilot already. And maybe this is just the firm rebranding Microsoft Copilot and tweaking it slightly for their own use. My one big issue about this is this just shows that because of the way that things like GPT-4 and Copilot have been open out to the market, and they've only really been open out to the larger firms, it does mean that even firms like mine and Ryan's and much smaller firms are effectively excluded from this AI marketplace at the moment. And that is incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, on the website, on the BDO website, it does say it is built using Microsoft AI technology. So it does sound like they have just taken Copilot, plugged into it in some way and maybe tweaked it.
Let's move gently back from AI for a moment and talk about something a bit more simpler to do with Alica Bank, Challenger Bank, focusing on international payments. They have clubbed together partnership with Wise. In the past, Alica couldn't make payments internationally. It was mainly for UK domestic businesses. Now, through its collaboration with Wise, UK businesses will be able to make international payments directly from their current account. Alica focuses mainly on businesses that are anywhere between the 10 and 250 employees range, tend to be those big businesses down the back of the industrial estate. It's just a great move for them to strengthen their value proposition to existing UK businesses.
Yeah, and I think that's a great partnership, isn't it, from Alica and Wise, and further expansion for them. Two great products out of the market.
And also, sorry to add, I was meant to say congrats for them the Deloitte Fast 50. No, not to you. Unfortunately, not today. Congrats to Alica for winning the Deloitte Fast 50 and being one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing fintech of all time. So huge congrats. That was just before Christmas they announced that.
Epic. Talking about something else which is pretty epic, there's a product called Pivot, which many people probably haven't come across, but they're a French-based procurement app, if I can say that properly, aimed at the ERP market in particular, so products like NetSuite, SAP, etc. like that. They've just completed a fundraise to the tune of 20 million euros, which is part of their Series A. They already raised 5 million euros back in April of last year now. Some pretty serious investment in quite a short amount of time, particularly given the market conditions. But Pivot, to be perfectly honest, looks like a really exciting app for people who want some sort of direct comparison. It's something equivalent to Approval Max, but aimed at the ERP market. It's got quite a significant level of functionality and sophistication over and above what you get with Approval Max. For example, it will integrate with things like Slack and Microsoft Teams, but it will also integrate with your organization structure. So if I have a line manager further up in my chain of command, you don't have to tell that like you would do with Approval Max. It just knows that because it can see that from the organization structure. So it's got some quite nice, neat little ways, some low code ways of building out approval formats and structures in a way that adds a significant amount of additional functionality to what can be quite clunky processes within an ERP. The funding success so far just demonstrates how much impact they're having at the moment.
John, Do you have any idea who Pivot integrate with? Because I can see they integrate with NetSuite, but I can't, from the, at least the announcement, see who else they do.
No, fucking clear, Ryan. Sorry.
You are so fucking annoying. My God.
They integrate with SAP Business One, Microsoft Dynamics, Workday, and Sage Intacct, I think it is.
John, I think next time you should tell us who they integrate with first, but thank you for adding that in afterwards. Ryan, please.
My pleasure, Indy. Whatever I can do for you to make your life so much easier.
You two are just annoying. All right, so let's move away from ERP solutions into the smaller business space. Xero have announced they are doing another price increase of their ledger and cash book licenses. So those that are aimed directly at the accountant are increasing from the 5th of March 2024. And it'll be not a huge raise, going up 25p for ledger, up, well, £1.50 actually for the non-VAT cashbook to £7 per month, and similar for the VAT cashbook licenses, which is a bit of a jump actually. But I don't remember these really increasing that much historically. Maybe I've missed that, but there's quite a jump this year. I guess we'll expect the other licenses to increase later on in the year.
I find the timing of this update is a little bit random, because we're now getting this thing, aren't we, where the main product price increases are now out of step with the other partner product increases. And I just wonder why they do that and why they just don't do it all together in one go.
Just to be annoying. There's no other reason that I can see, John. If you're going to tell people that your price is increasing, do it on everything at the same time. Anyway, I'm not going to rant. I'm grumpy enough this year.
And something else from Xero, they released the Money Matters report just ahead of Christmas. It was all about the impact of economic conditions on the cash flow of UK businesses. So the definition of small businesses is any of those businesses with up to 50 employees, sole traders, small businesses, and larger businesses. The report, there was quite a few things that you could have predicted in terms of inflationary pressures continuing to bite at small businesses, those that are expecting the impact of inflation on their business impacting their cash flow. So it's around the same percent, same amount as 42%. And those businesses that were mainly affected seem to be affected by supply chain issues and supply chain disruptions, which is obviously, even seeing what's happening in the Suez Canal at the moment, it's no surprise that actually a lot of small businesses are looking at their own supply chain issues and worried about the volatility that exists in the market at the moment. And there were some tips throughout the report in terms of what businesses could be doing to more positively impact their cash flow, securing or shoring up finances through just getting bill payments to happen on time, etc. I don't know if you guys spent enough time reading more of this report and whether there was any other additional takeaways that you could see for what businesses could or should be doing better.
It does come back to that Xero focus, which is improving cash flow for small businesses. That's generally been their focus and what they've been talking to government about for the last 5 years, I think. And the report's conclusion comes back to pretty much that. So there's nothing massively surprising in it. And yeah, as you said, there's a lot of things affecting businesses at the moment. It seems to be never ending. But no, I wouldn't say there was anything that was revolutionary.
I will caveat and say they seem to go into more granularity on those businesses that have adopted new payment solutions to manage cash flow. So whether it was different types of bill purchase, invoice management, etc., or even just the financing, because in this one, it does cover those businesses that use payment gateways and a number of small businesses that are now also using buy now, pay later services as well. And more generally, like the methods for collection. I didn't see that before, but it's interesting to know that there's only about 7% were covering those types of payment methods through financing.
We've seen some of this before, haven't we? Because I know Xero, I've got lots of stats around how just having a pay now button and a payment service provider attached to Xero helps you reduce your debtor days, for example. So it's good to see that they're extending that analysis out a little bit more. One of the things that stood out for me was that they were saying that one in five retail businesses were experiencing significant cash flow issues. And that's concerning, given that your retail business typically is a cash business, at least from a customer side. So you're not providing credit on that side. Is there an issue on the other side, which is on that purchasing side, in terms of not having access to credit, or maybe not having access to sufficient credit to ease that cash flow burden? And I guess that's where maybe things like the capitalized credit improvement programs can come in and things like that, because those can you know, help businesses to improve their credit score, give them access to larger amounts of credit so they're not having to go looking to finance that through debt or something else, but potentially. The other thing that did stand out as well was about 45% of businesses overall were saying that they had either significant or some cash flow issues. So it's still a big problem, isn't it? Cash cycle management and stuff. And yet, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I find that a lot of our clients still don't have a huge demand for things like short-term cash flow forecasting, for example. So that's still not an area where we get massive demand for. So where are these 45% of businesses? Are we just very lucky as accountants in our firms that isn't present? Or is it just that they manage cash flow in a different way and don't want to pay for these apps?
I think it's more the latter at the moment. I think it's also just awareness of how it can help. And releases like this from Xero, which say if you use certain functionality and work in certain ways, it actually improves your position, will help encourage the utilization of those tools and hopefully help those businesses in a preventative way. Because the problem is they normally come to needing a cash flow forecast when it's too late. They've already got themselves into too dire a position to be able to turn it around. Yeah, hopefully this will encourage accountants to talk to their clients more about these tools and how they can help, and those businesses start to utilize them. Another thing from Xero, we've got some news from their recent hackathon, which took place at the back end of 2023. They generally do two of these a year. And on the last one, they had 670 people from Xero and 127 teams around the world take part in this hackathon, with over another 1,000 that just joined to watch, basically, and see what was going on. But what I think has been brilliant from this is that a large number of those innovations from the hackathon have already been released, and you've already seen them. I don't know if you watched the latest Xero update, but they were talking about things by editing contacts and a completely changed way of viewing and managing contacts. That was something that came from the hackathon. There's been a new way of setting up a Xero license. And although some of it still is a bit archaic, there's some new functionality in there. I believe that's been the result of the hackathon as well. You've got some the favoriting of reports, the history and notes, hiding of and showing notes, etc. All of those part of the hackathon and was released pretty much straight away. All great little changes. And if they can do these like quick day basic events to then bring that stuff straight into the system, is only going to help, especially in where we've been saying for a while, we needed some more innovation from Xero. We've seen it recently and it's result this. Yeah, bring on more.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You see this with other tech businesses, not necessarily in accountancy, doing these kind of like hackathon type events. You even see it from the UK government occasionally as well, doing hackathons, just trying to come up with new ideas, new ways of thinking. As you say, Ryan, it's a great way to try and stimulate some innovation, which we feel that we've been lacking in the space. Talking about innovation as well, we've got some new updates from Dext, who have been really on the gravy train of updates and releases over the last few months. And the latest one that we've seen go live and it's out in testing now for people is mileage tracking. So mileage tracking isn't necessarily new to Dext, because you could do that via their partnership with TripCatcher if you wanted to, but that's an additional subscribed for product. And they've now brought in mileage tracking within the main product as a feature that you can do there. I must admit, I've not tried it. I've not played around with it. So I don't know if it's on a par with TripCatcher in terms of its capability and its functionality, or if it's maybe a slightly pared down version of that and maybe more akin to what you see with Xero expenses. But I would say, since we're on a roll with like top tips at the moment, is that I'm expecting Dex to put a real focus on expenses within the product over the next few months, because I think it is a weak part of the overall functionality of the system. I've had a couple of conversations with people in their product teams and stuff, and there seems to be a desire to improve its capabilities.
I've been excited again about Dex, like Dextension on the end of last year, but probably being fully released early this year. Load of new tools coming out. I've been a big believer in Dex for a while, but I've been frustrated in the fact it felt like it stalled, and now it seems someone's reignited it and we're getting some new functionality. And the areas they're focused on have definitely been the weaker areas of the platform. But yeah, excited what's to come. Pivoting away from Dex into QuickBooks, they have been working on their reporting, which we shouldn't be surprised about, because Xero have been doing that. And whenever Xero does something, QuickBooks does something. Whenever QuickBooks does something, Xero then comes back and responds. QuickBooks have been working on the reports. They're going to be released soon. A quick overview of what is coming is the QuickBooks Online products. So not the QuickBooks Online Advanced products, but the online ones will have the ability to expand and collapse from in that. So when you've got tiered nominal account structures, etc., you expand and collapse. They're going to remove a lot of the white space to make them more informative. And the ability to personalize some of the customization options are being improved. My preferences are what's coming out in the QuickBooks Online Advanced tool, which is the ability to convert reports to charts and pivot tables as needed, which is a great addition, and the ability to create complex multi-line filters inside the reports. It's actually adding a lot more functionality. And as they've been trying to do, segregate that more, like a slightly more expensive tool, the QuickBooks Online Advanced tool, to bring in more functionality above the cheaper ones that are in the market.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a QuickBooks Online update as well, which is the ability now to do balance sheet budgeting within the product. For anyone that used QuickBooks Desktop, you used to be able to do full P&L and balance sheet budgets, but that wasn't possible in QuickBooks or QBO. You could only do P&L stuff. So they just launched that into the Online Plus and Online Advanced product. So you can now do effectively budgeting or forecasting, so you can report against that for both P&L on balance sheets. Neat little update. Seems to have taken quite a long time, should I say, to get into the product. You'd think that quite a lot of businesses would want that functionality, so not quite sure why it's taken so long to get there, but it's there now and it brings it up on a par with the desktop product, which obviously a lot of people are moving away from.
Little bit of news from the friendliest accounting software in the market, FreeAgent. And it seems fitting, seeing as it is self-assessment season. So they have rolled out another change to their self-assessment functionality, insofar as there's two additional forms that can be recorded, the SA 105 and SA 103. So if you're a sole trader or a limited company account, then you can manage your property through FreeAgent. You can now record your property income on your self-assessment tax return.
Neat. And ServiceMate have also pushed out a ton of updates, which, to be honest, we missed because it was a couple of months ago now. It was back in October when they released this. And I'm going to have to look at the screen because they have done so many things. One of the big things that they've rolled out is the ability to create proposals within the system. You've got the ability to drag and drop sections around. You can add text sections. You can add photos, etc. And add all sorts of additional functionality, which for anyone that uses GoProposal, etc., will be very familiar with. Something that's maybe not as relevant for the UK market, but you can now add credit card surcharges to fees if you want to do that. Although for UK businesses, they've got to be aware of the restrictions around doing that. There's an additional functionality to help improve the automation of quoting and invoicing, either for jobs or as jobs are completing. They've added some chat functionality as well, so that you can use your voice assistant on your phone and just say that you're completing tasks as you work through things, which, again, pretty nice, neat thing, particularly if you're a hands-on tradesman trying to do stuff at Indy's house and fix the plumbing and heating, and you can now say, tell Google or Siri or whatever that you've completed the job. So that's pretty neat. They have also added some new inbox functionality so that you can collate and manage inquiries, messages, all sorts of other bits and pieces around work and tasks. I did say it's a big update. They've also added that inbox functionality to the app itself as well. When you're on your mobile phone or your tablets, you've got that there. And you've also got what they've called a live activity feed, which comes through on your phones. With ServiceMate, what you can do is when you check into jobs, either using the GPS tracking or manually, it will then tell you where you're up to, how much time you've got left, etc. So it's a pretty neat bunch of dynamic updates and things that are in there. And there, to be honest, there are a whole bunch of other things as well. They've added things like video transcription. You've got room scanning stuff, so that, you know, as a tradesperson, when you're stood in a room, you can use your camera on your phone to scan a room and measure it out approximately to do various things. So there is a real massive tranche of things that they've added to this. So a great bunch of features added to ServiceMate.
This sounds like an amazing app. Sorry, but I did speak to the plumbers. And I said, what do you guys use? Super geeky. What do you guys use to like send the bill and, you know, get paid? And they said Xero. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. It did take them a week to send it because they were like, okay, we're not going to send it straight away. We'll send it afterwards. And I thought, whew, I would have paid immediately. Maybe I should recommend ServiceMate to them.
Yeah, the trades are well served with some high quality apps, it has to be said. ServiceMate, Fergus, Simpro, etc., plethora of really good stuff out there for them to play with, and pretty affordable depending on what level you want to get in at.
Yeah, and we did dive into the various platforms in the Digital Digest episode. So yeah, if you want to know more about that, check out the YouTube channel. We run through all of those. Get slightly different, a little release by what was Bill.com is now called Bill, which is mostly a US platform for expense management, but now in the UK. They have released some changes to their spend and expense solution. They've brought in customizable spending limits, the ability to enforce spending policies directly inside the system, and ability to implement those or add those directly into the system in a more streamlined manner. Approval workflows as well inside the system with budgets, so you can see how you're doing in any given nominal account, etc. So when someone's going to approve something, you can see, are we now going to be overspending here? And the multiple budgets by department as well.
Yep. And then some last little bits, as we're in the new year, HMRC have had to comply with one of the new OECD requirements, which is to get firms like Vinted, Airbnb, Depop and eBay to collect and share details of transactions, not just with HMRC, but with tax authorities all around the world. HMRC have had the ability to be able to do this for a few years because the legislation has been in place. And this, frankly, isn't new because we've had this in the crypto world for quite a long time. We've had it in banking where the interest that you earn is being shared with HMRC already and pre-populated on your tax return in some instances as well. But that's all it made a bit of a splash because obviously quite a lot of people are using these platforms to make money. And there are some limits in terms of the amount of money that you can make with this sort of side hustle type app. So the limit at the moment is £1,000 a year before you need to register as being self-employed and to declare that on a self-assessment tax return. But of course, that does also depend on your personal circumstances because you may already be in business and have used some of your thresholds and allowances up already. So you might already be in the tax return world. Or one of the classic examples that somebody said was that I heard on the news was maybe if you're selling your wedding dress, for example, and it's quite expensive, then it may well be that you're making money. But it's a little bit weird because we're talking about earnings here and not necessarily income. And it's always, what are the definitions here? So what I would say to anyone potentially caught by this is talk to an accountant, talk to a tax advisor, check out the details more online. And equally, if you're on the Airbnb side, there are additional tax reliefs like rental room relief and things that are relevant to those kind of things. It's not just looking at a single threshold. But I guess the key point of this is it's an anti-avoidance measure. They're trying to ensure, in the same way that people were making money through crypto without declaring it, they're trying to make sure that legitimate earnings are being taxed and the exemptions that apply in the UK are there for those people who are just trying to make a little bit of money from secondhand clothes or whatever it might be.
To be clear here, you only make money if you're selling it for more than you purchased in the first place. So most of the time, when people think they're making money from secondhand clothes, is they've used it, they've paid maybe 50 quid for it, and they want to sell it for 20 quid, so they get a little bit of money back. Well, you've got no profit, you've got no tax coming on that. And I think that's where the confusion is coming from. Yes, you may do a tax return, but you actually had to do a tax return before. That hasn't changed. This is just now the people that operate those platforms just need to report information to make sure that those that are actually making profit, making a lot of money, are still reporting their tax.
The thing is that if they actually do this in an effective way, what it would mean is if you are lucky enough to be affected by this change, quite a lot of these platforms aren't always massively clear on how much money you're making. We know when you use certain e-commerce sites, for example, it's quite challenging to get the reports and the information needed to figure out what your earnings and your profits and stuff are. And I don't know how this integration is being used and what the sharing will mean, but if it means that it's going to pre-populate your tax return for you once you're registered, if assuming you've done all that properly, then that's just a time saver anyway.
More importantly, are you making sure that you're sorted on your OnlyFans page? That's all we really care about.
He doesn't make money on that. Come on.
I mean, Indy's my only subscriber. And it's more of a donation than profit.
I watched something on TV. Was it the First Dates restaurant? And there was a lovely girl on there, but my God, she opened up about her OnlyFans page and the fact that she had made 400,000 in the last 2 years on her OnlyFans page, 70,000 in 1 month.
Wow,
what did she post on that month?
My God, I don't know, but anyway,
John's going to be asking for the name after this.
I don't know. You'll have to watch on TV, won't you?
Okay, I'm sure you don't watch OnlyFans on TV, Indy. Unless you're screencasting, of course.
I watched First Dates. I watched our documentary. I didn't log on to a laptop and see.
What was that? You saw.
Move on.
Don't want to think about it. Okay. I thought we can end on one cheeky little bit of news. Luke Littler, who earned an incredible amount of money through his second place win?
Yeah,
win.
Second place lose, I think is the, yeah.
Second place win.
He got to the final of the World Darts Championship.
Just because you're a parent, everybody coming second place is first loser, okay?
Oh, you horrible man. Anyway, I thought it was hilarious that HMRC wrote a tweet back to defend the fact he would be taxed or that he would be subject to income tax. And people reacted in all sorts of ways on the news article to say, HMRC needs to get rid of the intern. It's a government body. They should be taking it seriously. Let's cut them some slack. Let's let the interns have control of HMRC and let's see how funny this gets.
I'm with you, Indy. I don't go on Twitter or X or whatever anymore. I did quite like the fact that HMRC demonstrate that they've got a little bit of personality occasionally and to tell the world that income tax still exists. Perfect. Yeah, it does. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you still pay income tax.
And I like the fact that, come on, if people say that they should be serious or whatever, this is, isn't it like a thing that's known about the British is that we're sarcastic? See?
Yeah.
They demonstrate Britishness in one tweet.
All they did was it. They said, we can confirm the existence of income tax. That was all they put. And caused uproar.
What Luke Littler should have done is he shouldn't have played in a UK tournament. He should have gone overseas and then he wouldn't have had any income tax to pay, would he? Unless he brought it back on shore.
And she was a tax advisor, yeah. John.
Unless he was American, of course, then the IRS would squeeze him for every last drop.
But we're not giving you any advice on this podcast apart from
we are not tax experts. Yeah, don't listen to us.
I expect anything.
Do not listen to us.
Could barely use the internet.
Apart from your OnlyFans page, we need to have a bit more fun.
We do.
You're recording a podcast with two accountants. What do you want? Some sort of fixed asset jokes?
We were trying to cheer Ryan up, weren't we?
We were doing a terrible job at it, but we were trying. You were, I wasn't. I'm not interested in cheering him up.
He likes grumpy Ryan.
I think it's entertaining.
We were talking about my boiler breaking.
And the fact that you had two plumbers to chat up. Two plumbers to fix one boiler, that's amazing.
Actually, I had three.
Three? Bloody hell. What, have you got some sort of like 1920s school industrial boiler?
It
like
takes a whole room.
Like you have an army of people that are constantly feeding coal into it.
That's what that room is out the back in the garden.
The bunker.
It's where the coal was stored.
It's not that old. It's actually only 5 years old or something.
So you didn't change it to a heat pump then?
The system needed a power flush and you have to have different plumbers to do a power flush from the plumber that fixes the boiler.
What? Why?
Because the boiler is under a home service thing with the company that supplied the boiler and the power flush is a system flush. I've learned a lot about boilers.
Got it. So the power flush was through all of your pipes because they were just basically gunked up. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, dirty water. Apparently. Allegedly. I don't think that they were actually. In fact, when they came, they even said, really lovely young men who said, actually, this is not the worst boiler that we've seen. This is pretty okay. Are you sure you want to do this? I was like, I've dragged you all the way out here now. I've been without
flush my
hot
pipes.
Water
flush my pipes.
I've been without hot water and heating for 5 days already. Do it. Do me. Ready.
I've not had personal contact for so long. Please, lads, flush my system.
I have got a really good system and it feels like it should be
it clearly not, because it wasn't bloody working.
Listen, I agree with you. I blame the boiler company. I don't like them. I'm glad that they've managed to fix it.
When they come to check it out and they go, we found out why it's not working. They just pull out like a dead pigeon for it. Because it's Christmas and we're approaching the new year, John and I thought we'd do a little bit different for this episode. So we're going to touch on what we think were the biggest and best releases in the accounting tech world this year. Some of those that didn't maybe cut the mustard and some apps to maybe look out for in 2024. Diving straight in with some of those big bits of news that made a big difference this year. We had Visma acquiring Silverfin. You've been working with Silverfin for a while. What do you think of this acquisition?
This acquisition is really big news. HG are involved quite heavily with both products. So it is a little bit of a reshuffling of the decks for them in terms of their investment priorities. But given that Visma are probably the biggest software company across mainland Europe and don't really have too much of a presence in the UK, I think it's really interesting that they've chosen to pick up Silverfin and add it to their portfolio of products. And although they are a Belgian-based company, they do have a significant presence in the UK. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2024 as both Silverfin develop out their products more, but also to see what Visma maybe do to try and leverage that presence in the UK to maybe bring some of their portfolio of products into the UK as well.
Silverfin's been, they've completely changed their brand image since Lisa Mars-Hill took over. And I think the acquisition is probably the combination of that and the impact they're having in the UK. But yeah, big news, going to see big things from Silverfin over the next few years. A little release, something that's probably gone under the radar for a lot of businesses, but I've seen that has big potential, is Dextension. It's a tool that links Dext and Xero together. I've been playing with it. I believe you've been playing with the tool as well, John.
Yep, I've been using Dextension ever since the beta launch. I absolutely love it. I think it's probably, for me, maybe the biggest release of 2023, if we can put it up there, in terms of something that's changed the way that you interact with products significantly. So basically built a Chrome add-in, which I guess they've probably maybe stolen the idea from Mayday, but we'll come back to that in a second. But they built a Chrome add-in that allows you to bring the best of two products together. Within Xero, you can then start to see things like your Dex precision, bookkeeping's quality score, and within things like the bank reconciliation, you can see the transactions that were matching with invoices already scanned in Dex Prepare, and you can then reorganize that list of transactions so that you can automatically reconcile the match transactions, leaving just the outstanding transactions. That's just a couple of features that they brought in. There's lots more in there, and it's a great way of implementing a product.
Yeah, and as you say, it is still, I believe, in beta. It's going to be released early 2024. That's the plan. And if you've not heard of it and used Dex and Xero, check it out. It's the quickest I've gone from seeing a product to bringing it into the firm since I've been at Scrum and Bland. Literally everyone that saw it just went, yeah, we need to use that straight away. We can only see positives of doing that. And if you use more of the Dex products, such as Dex Precision as well as Dex Prepare, you're going to get more out of it as well. But talking about free, we've also had a couple of free releases by the big boys, QuickBooks Online and Sage, that brought out freemium versions of their core software, I believe aimed at the smaller end of the market. Is there anything you know about this, John, and why maybe they've brought these out?
I think it's a reaction to Xero having had their ledger equivalent products that have been out in the market pretty much ever since Xero launched. They were there right from the beginning. And they finally realized that firms who are doing bookkeeping on behalf of their clients don't need the full capabilities and don't necessarily want to pay for the full product capabilities and want a slimmed down version of that to do some of those things. Sage obviously launched this back in April, and I think QuickBooks was around about September, October time. Can't remember the exact timing. But yeah, there is a prevalence still in the UK of those bag and box jobs, which is where these kind of products really fit well for firms to try to start digitizing those clients that maybe are a little bit more resistant or just aren't really interested, but it just makes your internal processes a bit more efficient.
Definitely a huge untapped area. It's that penetration pricing, isn't it? You try and get them into the product and you can upsell a pay-for version. And it's something that's worked really well for Intuit over in the US with their tax software. But yeah, it makes sense for them to release something in the UK. You mentioned it earlier, John. We've got Mayday that have been doing a lot in 2023, and something that I thought was great at the start of 2023. One of the best things that I've seen is the fact they released their entire product roadmap, and not just for 2023, but literally everything they wanted to do. That openness, the revealing everything that they wanted to do and the product and the stages they wanted to get through to get there. It's not locked down. This is our vision. I thought it was great. And they've already released both Brag, which is bank reconciliation as a group, I believe, and Balancer, which is that automated way of identifying if intercompany accounts are unbalanced and the ability to reconcile that. I know that they want to move into year-end processing and also just adjustments within an entity, such as if you think about Xero and tracking categories, moving things between departments. Is there anything that I've missed on that, John?
I completely agree with you on the whole roadmap thing. We're crying out all of the time, aren't we, to see more of this from the other vendors that we utilize. The one thing I would say is, as I alluded to in the Dex commentary, was that Mayday, the bank reconciliation across the group feature that they've got there, is effectively a Chrome add-in, and it does tailor slightly the way that you use Xero to add an extra tab essentially to the reconciliation pages when you're in Xero. But it's a really powerful feature. We use it across a few clients of our own, and it's a massive opportunity just to streamline that process where you do get those frustrating transactions that happen in one company that need to match against an invoice in another, for example, and you do the ability to now do that almost seamlessly is really great.
In groups of companies, it seems to be increasing volume as you've got businesses having to do things, diversify, and to manage risk, hiving those out into separate legal entities. As soon as you do that, the bit that never works is the intercompanies, right? You need something to help you do that, and Mayday is a great tool to bring in. A big potential launch, something that I loved this year that I think is going to have huge legs over the next few years, is Todd Copilot. It's a tax on demand copilot using AI to go through the entire tax legislation. So you can ask a question and it brings back the answers. I think it's great. I've not had a chance to play with this yet. I know it was released at the back end of 2023. Have you dabbled with Todd Copilot at all yet?
We've dabbled with it. We've let it loose with our tech teams just to see what their thoughts and ideas were in terms of how accurate it is and whether or not it's useful as a tool. That sort of test and trial is still ongoing at the moment. But this product is something we're going to see more and more of. And for anyone that works in tax, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's definitely on the Todd website. But I think the UK tax code is one of the most complex, one of the most wordy.
Yeah.
And it's not just the basic tax code that they've brought into the chatbot, but they brought in all of the peripheral stuff around the outside, the guidance, the notes, and that in itself runs to hundreds of thousands of pages. So I think it's going to be really interesting. From a firm perspective, some people might be a bit challenged about that in terms of, do we still now need to have tax experts, or is this going to be reliable enough to use it as the basis for tax advice going forward? The only way to find that out is to test it ultimately, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it will start where it's just enhancing those tax experts' ability to research. It will make it a lot quicker, and then that sense check, like, is it bringing back what we expected to bring back, will still need to be there at first, but then it's going to learn over time. It's an intuitive system. A couple of smaller things that were great releases in 2023. Free Agent released Smart Capture, that OCR technology, into their platform. And that's just one example of what Free Agent will be doing, a huge amount of releases through 2023, and has brought that product more to the fore and more onto a par with Xero, QuickBooks Online, and Sage. We've got Payhawk. If you've not heard of Payhawk, check it out. This card management system that brought in purchase orders. And this enabled them to bring it themselves more into entire expense management and change the likes Lightyear, Dext to entry that side. So do check out Payhawk. And then one that came out right at the end of 2023 that we loved and we've had been lucky enough to get Alex von Schirmeister on to talk about is Xero Pay. Not sure that's its official name. Might be Pay with Xero. Might just be the ability to pay with Xero. But the overlay of, I guess, actually sort of the embedding of the Cresco payment engine into Xero, so you can just pay bills directly from within Xero. We always struggled a bit with Pay with Wise. We never adopted that because it just felt cumbersome. But the first dabbling of Xero Pay, or whatever we're calling it, has been a pleasant experience. And I know that they still have a lot of features to release, such as foreign currency. There's limitations at the moment, but yeah, it's a great tool. Have you used Xero Pay at all yet, John?
I haven't used Xero Pay yet. We were users of Pay with Wise, and like you, Ryan, found it frustrating. It was a little bit fractured. I am a user of Cresco and I'm familiar with that app. So I can only imagine that this is going to be great. And it's on our sort of roadmap, if you like, for 2024 to have another look at and see, because payment services, payment technologies is an area that we've never quite nailed as a firm in terms of what route we want to take and what option is the best for us.
Yeah, same. It's becoming more critical for us now. We want to bring it in as an add-on service. And so, yeah, picking the right tool is something we need to nail down in 2024. So as well as what we thought was great, we've also had some where we think maybe this is great. We're not so certain. And Intuit Assist is one of those because it's got huge potential. And if you're unsure what Intuit Assist is, it's basically Intuit's underlying AI technology across its plethora of systems, be that QuickBooks Online, MailChimp, etc. Now, the reason that we're unsure about this is when it was first announced, I think that John Indy and myself were like, this could be amazing. But we've not really seen it do anything as yet. It's been built into MailChimp, but the only thing I've seen that it can do is the editing of inline email, like writing or marketing things to prompt you on what you're going to write. And that's been around in lots of other systems for ages. So we think it's going to be great, but we believe they're training it and it's going to be a little while till we see the benefits. What do you think of this, John? Do you think that's going to be a big difference in 2024?
I think we're going to see a fairly significant acceleration of these kind of products. In the US, Intuit have already got products like Digits, which they're going to be competing against. That is a very similar product to what they appear to be trying to build in terms of it's a chatbot that you can connect to QuickBooks and to Xero and to other things, and then interact with your data, ask questions and say, I don't know, what was my performance like in the last quarter? So removing this need to generate reports that I guess we would normally do traditionally, management reports, et cetera, being able to interact with your data. And again, this isn't new. We saw this from Sage with Peg a long time ago where they were trying to get a chat not to interact with your accounting data, but the large language model technology that's around now just enables you to be a bit more sophisticated. And like I say, Digits in the US is a huge product, got a lot of money behind it, and is making some waves over there. I think a lot of the general ledgers are going to have to start adopting this kind of technology to stay relevant. And also, got to bear in mind that the customers of the future that are going to want to use these products, the kids that are still at school that are going to be leaving school and college and university in the next few years and then considering becoming entrepreneurs of some description, will want a different way of interacting with their accounting and finance information. And that's going to be disruptive, not just for the apps, but also for accountants as well.
Yeah, definitely. All of the main players are going to be bringing out AI engines. I think Intuit have probably the best potential because they've got such a plethora. They've got much more data to work with. And yeah, it's an exciting time. But yeah, unsure how great it is going to be at the moment because we just need to see more of it. Another big launch in 2023 was FirmCheck over in the UK. I'll hand this one over to you, John, because I know you know a lot more about FirmCheck than I do.
Yeah, I started working with FirmCheck when they came through the early adopters hub, towards the tail end of the previous year. And then they were looking to work out whether they could get product market fit in the UK exactly right. Already got a presence in New Zealand and Australia as a product. And you know, I think 2023 became the year almost of sort of AML products. We saw quite a lot of coming out, but FirmCheck was one that really stood out as they'd listened to the market, not just me, but listened to other people in the market. And we're really trying to figure out what is the problem that firms are having around their AML procedures and how can they go about fixing some of those problems. The jury's still out. I think there's going to be a bit more competition maybe expected in 2024. And I think requirements continuously change and you've got a decent number of other products in the mix as well. You've got Xamarin, of course, which has been around a little bit longer in the UK. You've also got Sage. They've got AML checking, which is combined with the quoting tool, the GoProposal that they acquired. Yeah, that I think that end-to-end customer client acquisition piece is going to be an interesting one to watch in 2024.
Definitely. And you've got others that are hybrid solutions, such as Summertech. You've got TTech's system for mid-tier accounting firms as well that are... the focus of attention on the back end of 2023, and we'll see a lot more of that in 2024. Another one that we're excited about, but probably need to see a bit more, is the Xero e-invoicing tool that I believe is built on Tickstar. And great announcement at the Xero Roadshows. It's something that we know it needs to be in place, needs to come, but really, if it's going to get much use early on, probably not. So something to look out for over the next few years. But as well as those great releases, we've also had some that have been pretty disastrous. And I don't think there's been any more disastrous than the release of BrightPlay payroll in April to then be pulled within 2 months. And still, I believe, in beta. Is that right, John?
Yeah, it's still in beta as far as I'm aware. And yeah, it was a big surprise that, because obviously it's a product that has got an incredible reputation, brilliant on-premise solution, probably if not the number one payroll product, but certainly the top three payroll products as far as accountancy firms in general liked. And yeah, they launched in the cloud and it was an absolute disaster, lacking considerable amount of features that people wanted or expected. I think it's a communication challenge for these products, is that this transition from desktop to cloud isn't just a copy and paste. It isn't a lift and shift kind of thing. You've got to think fundamentally about your product, about how it's designed, what the UI and UX looks like, and also how you release those features. If you are going to transition to the cloud, we've seen this with other players in the market. Quite often they do start with a slimmed down version of their original product. And that may or may not appeal to users. And certainly in BrightPay's experience, it massively did not appeal and was a bit of a PR disaster for them. So they've got another few months to get that right. And I'm assuming that they'll go live for the revised product in April of next year.
It makes sense. And hopefully this time they've listened to the feedback and they get it right. Yeah, brilliant desktop product. And I'm still excited for when the full cloud version comes out and properly makes waves. One that I thought was quite entertaining, the IRS, so the US tax system, decided they were going to go completely paperless by 2025. If you ever heard us talking about the IRS, they are the most antiquated, backwards operational system ever. Everything is paper. You have to email in. There's virtually nothing that's digital, yet they're going to completely go paperless by 2025. No chance, in our opinion. And then you've got Intuit pulling out of France. In itself, not massive, but it comes on the back of some of the other players also pulling out of other jurisdictions. And something that John and I and Indy talk about is a desire actually for these products to push into those other countries and have country-specific or dedicated systems such as we've got in the UK. And the fact they pulled out was not helpful in that state. But we understand it from an economical point of view. There are competitors in that marketplace. And then a big one that created waves throughout the UK accounting marketplace was the Dext pricing changes. And that was a disaster in PR. What did you think of that one, John?
Ironically for us, they were great because we actually ended up with a price drop. But yeah, it was just a bit bonkers, I think, in terms of the way that they manage the PR and they manage the communication again. And a lot of the issues that we've seen with products and vendors over the last few months, maybe years as well, has been about comms, hasn't it, really? It's been about articulating the message and why they're trying to make changes. And where you don't do that, you end up with the disaster that Dex found themselves in, where the accounting communities were starting to effectively compare and contrast their pricing arrangements with everyone else, and then realizing that everyone had something, you know, better or worse than them. And obviously that then caused even more problems. And the irony, of course, was that Dex were trying to, you know, get to a place where they had a consistent pricing for everyone rather than the kind of inconsistent issue that they had historically.
Yeah, Dex have basically done two big announcements since I've been working with them. One was to change the name from Receipt Bank to Dex, and the other one is this pricing change, both which I think needed to be done, both that just did not get handled very well and seemed to have just caused problems. In itself, yeah, I don't think we disagree with the context of why they're doing these things, but it just, I've never seen social media in the accountancy side go completely up in arms like it has been over these two releases. But it'd be unfair of us to also recognise those that have unfortunately passed in the past year. And we've had, from an app perspective, we've had Comma that left us in November. So that payment app. We've had Hindsight, the reporting tool that also decided to shut its doors in November. And we had Libio, a huge payment system in France that came into the UK, burnt quickly and brightly, and then pulled back and out of the UK earlier in the year. So fortunately, as we've experienced this, we've got new entrants always coming in and then some that always leave. But we did want to touch on a few that we think would be those to look out for in 2024. I've picked out a couple from my side. One is Apron, which is a payment system that has done a lot of development over the 2023, loads of releases. Check out the app news and our website, digitaldisruptors.com, if you want to see things that they release. And then I've got FYI, who've come over from Australia. They've been around the UK marketplace for a while, but they've really honed the product. It's a document management, task management, was pretty much become practice management tool now. And they've really honed the product, and it looks really powerful from what I've seen. So that's something I think is going to do really well in 2024. John, are there any that you think that you'd want to look out for in 2024?
So Translucent will be one to look out for in 2024 because Michael's got a very clear idea of what he wants to build out there and also got the investment capital behind him to do so. And then I'm not really sure what else is going to come. Maybe, just maybe, one of the big boys like CCH or Iris might actually get something out in the cloud which we want to have and use, but we'll maybe sit on our hands and wait.
Yeah, they've made a lot of announcements to 2023. That there's going to be a lot of stuff happening in 2024. So we'll see. I'd like to just highlight as what we've been, what we think have been the greatest releases, those that we think have got the most potential, and those were just a failure. And from my perspective, something that I would buy into would be Intuit Assist. There's a huge potential there. It's going to be a huge product and fundamentally has the potential of changing how we work with accounting software going forward. Get into bed with Dextension. That's a brilliant little tool. Definitely, if you use Dex and Xero, go and get it. Don't even question it, just go and get it. And then from a BIN perspective, from my side, has to be the IRS trying to go paperless by 2025. It's just an absolute joke. What about yourself, John? Have you got a bed buying bin from what we've run through today?
To me, bed would be Dextension. Absolutely, to me, it's a standout thing for 2023. If I was going to buy something, maybe Mayday, I'd put a bit of money into that and see what comes of 2024. There's going to be a bit more competition in that space, but it's an exciting one. And bin, do you know what? I'm going to be pretty cruel here and say Brightpay Cloud. They've burnt a few bridges there and it's been a bit of a disaster. They've lost some kudos and that will have an impact on them.
Definitely. And that feels like a great place to wrap up.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you want to hear more or know more about the Digital Digest, which Brian mentioned earlier in the episode, the best way to keep in touch is to subscribe and join on the Digital Disruptors website. You can keep updated on the latest app news. And also you can join our Digital Disruptors community Slack channel where you can see all the latest updates and join the upcoming events that we are looking to hold this year. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already done so, we didn't get any Christmas presents in the form of reviews over Christmas. We were most disappointed by that. It was solid lumps of coal for all three of us. In a bid to boost our egos, would you please just do us a courtesy of leaving us a great review or any review to let us know what you think of the pod. Thanks a lot. See you on the next one.
And to all those that do leave a review, you get a free session with Indy sorting out a plumbing.
Unless you leave a shit review.
And a complimentary stay and a complimentary stay in the bomb shelter in my
in the newest Ibis hotel.
The Ibis bunker.
It's some sort of slightly sadomasochistic tendencies by the sound.
Get handcuffed to the radiator, which is now red hot.
Yeah, that's true. Scorching.